All right. Tonight I want to share with you for a short time, and the title of my message is Seven Steps to Staying Encouraged. Okay. Seven Steps to Staying Encouraged. Okay, now it is a very important thing for anyone who's trying to achieve anything to stay encouraged. I think it's a little warm here. What's the? You turn the AC on, okay? Okay. All right. So I'm saying that. The ability to stay encouraged is a very valuable asset to anyone who is building anything. Do you see? Because the nature of building is such that you meet a lot of obstacles and you have many reasons to quit building. Do you see? Because it's one thing building or putting together something that didn't exist before. And another thing, enjoying something that somebody else built. Do you see? Most people choose the second one because it's a lot easier. You see, instead of building your own, it's a lot easier to enjoy what someone else built. So whether it is a life, sometimes people abandon their own lives and try to latch onto other people who have built their lives. Sometimes people neglect their own families and try to hang on to other people's families to enjoy what has been built over there. Do you see? Sometimes people will leave their own homes very untidy and take refuge in another person's home and enjoy the clean sheets and enjoy everything over there. You know, and wish they never had to go home. Do you get it? Because building is difficult. Do you see? And creating something nice and something that is enjoyable takes a lot of work. Now, many people set about to build something, but down the line, because of the challenges involved in building, they give up and they quit. You know, the strength of the builder can be decayed. Let me read to you a very interesting verse, and then I will continue. It's a verse that talks about some people who were trying to build something, and then at a point, the Bible says they suffered this phenomenon, which is the phenomenon of decayed strength. Do you get it? That decayed, so when something is decayed, it means it's rotten, it's gone bad, isn't it? So the strength is decayed. So it's that verse is in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Do you see that? Right? So these people were trying to build a wall. And they were trying to restore a wall that used to be there. And they were trying to put everything back together. Now, one of the ways that they were attacked was with this phenomenon called the decayed strength, which is that the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed. One of the things the devil likes to do is to attack the strength of the people who are trying to build anything. Do you understand? Yes. And he attacks it by creating much rubbish. As you can see in the verse, it says there is much rubbish. You know, a lot of useless things, a lot of time wasters, and a lot of so many encumbrances and things you didn't expect to encounter which sort of find their way into your life just to eat at your strength and to direct and redirect your energy and your focus, that in the end, you are left with very little strength to do the very thing you set yourself to do. Do you get it? So it says, because their strength is decayed and there is much rubbish, they are not able to build the wall. Do you understand? And verse 11 is even more interesting. It says, and our adversaries, that is the enemies of what we are doing. And no matter what you do, you will have an enemy. You have something that fights against anything that you're trying to do. Whether you're building a church or building your life or building your family or building your health or building your finances or trying to get out of debt or trying to develop a career, no matter what, anything you're trying to put together attracts adversaries. Do you see? And it says that our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You know, and this is a classic trend in how things are abundant. Sometimes good projects, sometimes a good vision, a good goal, which ends up being abundant. And if you ask the person, why have you stopped doing this? They don't even know why. You see, and they cannot even tell you when they stopped. But that's what the enemies, they said, they will not even know what will happen. We will just come in, we'll sneak in there, and then we will cause their work to cease. Whatever they're trying to do, we will cause it to cease. Amen.
Amen.
So I am trying to establish that no matter what you have set before you to do, you know, whether it is the church we're building or even a personal goal that you have for your life, whatever you set yourself to do, you should expect that you will have to contend for and fight for the courage to continue and to stay encouraged. Amen.
Amen.
To stay encouraged. Now, I was trying to look up the word courage in the dictionary, and you see that the word courage is a word that describes the ability, the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc. without fear. Do you see? Yeah. The quality or mind that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc. without fear. That means the quality or mind of mind or spirit that allows a person to do difficult things, to do something that doesn't come easy, you see. And that is the thing. And so when you are trying to stay encouraged, it means that you're trying to stay on course with this quality, you see. And the opposite of that, of course, is to be discouraged. Do you see? Yeah, the opposite of that is to be discouraged. And that is why the enemy is very interested in discouraging people. And to be discouraged means to be deprived of courage, hope, or confidence, you know, or to be disheartened or dispirited. Amen.
Amen.
So what better thing will the enemy like to give to someone who is trying to build a church? A church is an institution which is primarily against the works of the devil. The Bible says that for this reason was the Son of God made manifest. Jesus came for this reason, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So a church is like an agency that destroys the works of the devil. So to do that, I mean, the church needs to continue to remain encouraged.
Amen.
To do what it's supposed to do.
Yes.
The devil will seek to discourage us. Amen.
Amen.
The devil will seek to discourage us, to discourage you as a person, as an individual, whatever you have set yourself about to do, the devil will seek to take the courage out of it. Because courage is what we use to possess even what God gives to us. Do you understand? Let me take you again to the book of Joshua. Go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. So I'm going to give you 7 steps, but I'm just laying a foundation, then I'll just pour the steps on you, and then we'll be out of here. Amen. All right, Joshua chapter 1. Have you found Joshua chapter 1? The book of Joshua. Where is Joshua? Joshua, Joshua. Okay. Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Amen.
Amen.
He said, one of the ways you even know what I've given to you is the fact that you can step in it.
Wow.
Do you see?
Yeah.
If you can step in it, I have given it to you. That's different from if you step in it, I will give it to you.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. So God was trying to show Joshua that actually, what you want is something I have already ordained for you to have. I have given it to you. That's how come you can even step into it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he went on from the wilderness of this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, or the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Then he said in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen.
Amen.
So God has made he's done his part.
Amen.
His part is, he says, if your foot shall step into the place, I've given it to you. Then his next job was to define the boundaries of what he has given. So he said, from here, all the way to over there, all the way back here, and all the way to this point, I have given it to you. He said, it even belongs to some people, but I have given it to you. Do you see? Do you see how he said, all the land of the Hittites? So it belonged to the Hittites. But he said, I've given it to you. Do you get it? Then he goes on to say, nobody will be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. Do you understand? In other words, I'm anointing you, I'm empowering you, and nobody is going to be able to stand before you. Then he gives his final contribution to the project, which is that I will be with thee. He said, same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with thee. And then he says, I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. Do you understand? That means I'll never give up on you. So even if you feel like I'm not around, I'll still be around. So even through those moments when you feel like you're all alone and you've been left to take on this challenge alone, you know, like I was saying on Sunday, we don't go by feelings. Do you understand? The fact that you can't see or feel him around doesn't mean he's not around. So he gave all these assurances. Then after that, he gives Joshua his contribution also. That your contribution to this project is this. Which is that now you must be strong and of a good courage.
Right.
Are you getting it?
Yes.
Yeah. He said, you be strong. I can't be strong for you.
Wow.
I can tell you what I've given to you. I can show you where it is. And I can give you the assurance that I'm going to be with you the whole time. But what I can't do for you is to be strong. The being strong is something that you also have to contribute to this project. Are you getting it? He said, you have to be strong and you have to be of a good courage. Do you see? Now, if we go again to the definition of courage, then you see, he says, to have courage, or when someone has courage, we mean that the person, okay, the person has the quality of mind or spirit that it enables him to face difficulty. Do you see? So God was trying to say to him that what I need you to bring to the table is an ability to face difficulty. You have to be able to face difficulty. It's interesting how we often rather look at difficulty and see it as the sign that maybe God is not with us. You see, or as the sign perhaps that we've taken on the wrong battle. Or that as the sign that, look, this thing is too hard for us. Do you understand? Yeah. So most people give up at the point of difficulty. Right. One of the common reasons for giving up is it's too difficult. Do you understand? Yeah. But according to the scripture, when you give up on something because it's difficult, then what it means is not that God didn't give it to you, but it's that you didn't contribute your quota. What God wants, in particular, he wanted you to contribute that ability to keep standing there even though the thing is tough. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I know I'm preaching, I tell you. Because what I'm saying is so important. Amen. Amen. That what he was expecting you to bring to the table is an ability to be there. You see, you can't give to yourself the land of the Hittites. Do you understand? Yeah, you can't give to yourself that promise God made to you and said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's not something you can do for yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't do that for yourself. You can't define one area. You can't just get out of this place and then point to one of the houses. You see, from that house to that house to that house to that house, all of this place is mine. You can't just do that. You see, so a higher power needs to do that for you. Amen. A higher power needs to define your goals. A higher power needs to tell you what you can have. But now when he has given it to you, he says that now you need to bring to the table courage, which is that instead of shrinking because of difficulty, instead of becoming discouraged because of difficulty, he wants you to be encouraged, isn't it? And to stay courage, to be able to face danger, pain without fear, to have bravery in the face of whatever you are standing before. Hallelujah. So back to Joshua, he said to him that be strong and of a good courage, because unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance, for an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Then he said in verse 7, only be thou strong. He said, that's the only thing I'm asking from you. Do you see? The only thing I'm asking of you is that you should be strong and very courageous. Is it not amazing how God is emphasizing on courage? That staying courageous and staying strong. He said, that's all your contribution. That is all. Spend your whole time and your whole energy trying to stay courageous. He says, pretend not to be afraid. Do you see what I'm saying? He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Hallelujah. Amen. Then verse 9. Look at verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. You see, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Amen. He said, you just be strong and be very courageous. Hallelujah. Amen. So it looks like, according to what we're reading, it looks like even when God has demarcated a place for you, even when God has defined a spot in life for you, you need courage to possess it. You need to bring along courage to be able to step into it. It's like if someone cooks a meal for you and even carries you and sits you behind the meal, you need to bring your mouth along and open your mouth to eat the thing. Do you understand? Otherwise, you stay hungry like someone who never got anything provided for them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Even if someone was to open your mouth and to put the food in your mouth, you need to contribute swallowing. That's the minimum. You need to contribute maybe chewing and swallowing. You need to do that for yourself. Hallelujah. And if you don't do that, then there's nothing else that can be done for you. Hallelujah. So God is expecting us to stay very courageous in this project and in this work. In this assignment, God wants us to be daring. God wants us to be brave. God wants us to be very courageous. He said, you be very courageous. That is all I ask you. He says, only be thou courageous. That's your only contribution. You don't have to define the geography of the place. That's my job. Do you understand? You don't have to say which land is going to come to you. That's my job. You don't have to say even to know how I'll get you in there. That's my job. But your job is to bring courage along. Your job is to keep your eyes open when you feel like shutting them. Your job is to keep walking forward when you actually feel like running backwards. Do you understand? Your job is to keep sitting or keep standing when everyone else or everything else is pointing towards give up and sit down. Are you just hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is why we all who are involved in the building of a church have to stay encouraged. Hallelujah. So how many can understand why we need to be encouraged? Hallelujah. The courage you have is your strength. Hallelujah. So God needs you to hold on to it. He needs you to retain your courage because that is going to be a blessing to you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So now, if it is so important to stay encouraged, then how do we do it? So this is where my seven steps come in. Amen. How do we stay encouraged? How? Because it's very easy to tell someone, sister, be encouraged. You know? Or brother, be encouraged. But how do you be encouraged? Do you understand? How do you be encouraged? How exactly do we do it? Number one, you need to develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need to develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So one of the main components of staying encouraged is looking to the Holy Spirit for that encouragement, which is to have a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you see? Now, the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, is an essential part of our faith. In fact, Jesus said that one of the reasons why he had to go, he said, it is advantageous for me or for you that I go. He said, if I leave the earth and go back to heaven, it is advantageous for you because if I do not go, the Comforter or the Holy Spirit will not come. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's like only one of us can be here. One person at a time. So it is advantageous for you that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. And in that instance, he referred to him as the Comforter. Do you see? Someone who comforts you, someone who helps you get through difficult times, someone who is with you, who is by your side at all times. And Jesus said, if I go, It is better for you, because that's when that person is going to come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So one of the Holy Spirit's important role in our lives is the to give us encouragement. Do you understand? To comfort us and to give us encouragement to go on. Now, to be able to benefit from that, you need to cultivate that relationship with him. Amen. You need to have a real relationship with him. You need to speak unto him or speak with him, and you need to allow him to speak to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And how do you do that? You do it by faith.
Yeah.
Amen. You do it by faith. On Sunday, we were learning that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things we don't see. Hallelujah. So you have to believe that there is a Holy Spirit, and you have to commune with Him. If you believe that there is God, it shouldn't be difficult for you to believe there is a Holy Spirit. Amen. If you don't find it strange to commune with a God you don't see, then you shouldn't find it strange to commune with a Holy Spirit you don't feel. Hallelujah. You should be able to believe in the Holy Spirit, and as you commune with Him and relate with Him, do you understand? He is going to give you inner encouragement that is going to rise up within you to fight and to confront what is before you. What do you think? Hallelujah. Yeah. When you are all alone and there is no one to speak to, the Holy Spirit will be your guide. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is all that you need. It's unfortunate that a lot of people do not believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in God, but they do not believe in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, but the Bible talks about the Trinity, three in one. God expressed in three ways. Do you understand? Yeah, God expressed in three different ways. And in each one, He is represented as God. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
And one of those expressions is the Holy Spirit. So you have to be conscious of the Holy Spirit and to relate with the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Hallelujah. He said, greater is He. You overcome the challenges and the difficulties in the world because of who is in you. Do you see?
Yeah.
Because of who is in you. And the one in you is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to help us. He's supposed to give us guidance. He's supposed to give us answers. He's supposed to lift up our spirits. He's supposed to give us reason to continue. He's supposed to encourage us and to urge us on. Hallelujah. That is the Holy Spirit. And it is something that we need to activate in our lives.
Amen.
His contribution in our lives must be activated. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is like Siri. If you don't ask Him a question, He doesn't talk. Do you understand?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, I mean, as we're in this meeting, we may be feeling hot and so on. You don't know what the temperature is, but somebody knows.
Yeah.
So you have to ask Him. You see? Siri, what's the temperature now?
It's about 82 degrees Fahrenheit outside. Hot!
Do you see? But if you don't ask Him, He's not going to tell you that it is 82 degrees outside. Hallelujah! But if you are conscious of Him and you commune with Him, He's going to guide you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This little piece of advice can make a difference between showing up or showing up somewhere in your winter jacket and looking very silly, you know, and not just because you bothered to check. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is like that. You need to be conscious of Him and to be intentional about relating with Him. Amen.
Amen.
And that relationship is a faith relationship.
Amen.
It is by faith. You have to believe in Him. You have to believe He exists. And you have to believe that He exists to guide you. God gave Him to us. And God called Him a comforter. Amen.
Amen.
Who is able to comfort us. You know, it's very common to be discouraged.
Yeah.
Very common. One of the commonest things in life is to be discouraged. Because the obstacles alone, I mean, the Bible rightly calls it much rubbish. You see, much rubbish that we have to deal with. You have to deal with it from people. You have to deal with it at work. You have to deal with it in different circumstances, different situations, unexpected sources of rubbish that you have to come across and encounter from time to time. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us step over the rubbish so that our strength does not decay, but that we'll be able to continue. Sometimes you're trusting God for something and it's delayed. Do you see? Or it feels like it's delayed. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, when you want something very much, even waiting for it for just 1 minute feels like waiting for it for 3 days. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When you really want something, any time spent waiting for it is feels prolonged. Yeah. It feels like a long time. But if you were to check your watch, you'll see you've only been waiting for 5 minutes. But it feels like you've been here for an hour. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. If someone is in a service and they can't wait to go home, you know, they feel that the preacher has been preaching too long. You see, maybe he's been preaching for 15 minutes. But it's like, wow, is this preaching going to end? Hallelujah. So that is how it is when you encounter something like that. But the Holy Spirit, his purpose is to help us and is to be there for us and to help us stay on course. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Right. Now, number two, step to staying encouraged is to receive living messages from God by the simple reading of scriptures. Okay? So the second way to stay encouraged is simply reading the Bible. Amen. See, one of the people in the Bible who was very good at encouraging himself is somebody called David. You know, and the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, there are times when there is nobody to tell you anything. You know, all the people around you who could even say something positive are either not around, or if they are around, they are not saying what you wish they would be saying. Isn't it? But David learned how to encourage himself in the Lord. And one of the ways to do that is to read the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
To read the Bible. You can take the Bible and read sometimes even stories and passages of people who were in difficulty and how they overcame. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. People who were in difficulty and how they overcame. You see, that sometimes when, you know, recently somebody's not been very well, you know, and there were times when I hear the reports about how badly he's doing, I would kind of get discouraged, you know. But one of the things I did was to go and read the story about Jesus and how he raised Lazarus from the dead. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And anytime I read that story, I feel very encouraged. Do you understand? Yeah. To be discouraged is for the courage to be taken off. Like to disrobe someone is to take the robe off. So to and be encouraged is to put the courage back on. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when I read that passage, I realized that the courage and the faith to keep believing came back in a very strong way. Because Lazarus was dead. He was buried. You know, his sisters and everybody around just thought that it was even a waste of time for Jesus to attempt to raise him up from the dead. You know, one of his sisters told Jesus, "Lord, we know that if you had been here, you know, if you had been here, I mean, the time for a miracle is already past. Right now, we are way past miracles. We are now into reality." You see, we have to accept reality at this point. Because we are way past the point where we can expect any type of supernatural gimmick. Do you see what I'm saying? But Jesus shut her up and told her that, look, didn't I tell you that I am the resurrection and the life? And he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Hallelujah. So you need to read such scriptures. Hallelujah. If you must hear a voice, then hear the voice of the Word of God. Instead of hearing and tuning into the voice that keeps discouraging you and telling you this is the 100th time you're trying this. I mean, what is it going to take to give up? Instead of hearing the voice that tells you are not that type. You were born like this. This is the way you are. This is the way you have always been. And this is the way you will always be. Why don't you accept yourself? Instead of hearing the voice that says that. If you must hear a voice, then why don't you go for the voice of the Word of God? Amen. Amen. The Bible is full of stories of people who were in dire situations. People who were in difficult situations. Like Daniel in the lion's den. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were thrown into a fire. Isn't it? Yeah. Like the disciples of Jesus in a storm with Jesus in the boat, isn't it? Like Jesus having 5,000 people to feed and having only 5 loaves of bread to take care of that situation. Like the woman with the issue of blood having a gynecological problem for 12 years, having spent all her living on doctors and not having anything. You don't have to read too far in the Bible to find a story you can identify with. Hallelujah. And you need to read some of these stories so you can, they can come alive in you. And so you can stay encouraged by those stories. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Number 3 is you need to remember other problems that God has delivered you from.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everyone can look back in their life and remember some situation where they thought this was it. And how the Lord came through for them. Amen.
Amen.
God makes sure that everyone has such a story. So they can draw on it from time to time. So when you read in the Bible, you see Jesus was very disappointed when the disciples were in a certain situation. And they didn't seem to have faith to know that he was going to come through for them. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And that you read in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And verse 18. Mark chapter 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. Do ye not remember? Then he said, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you don't understand? Hallelujah. Jesus was expecting them to remember. He said twice. He said, one time I had 5,000 people and I had 5 loaves. When we finished, how many baskets of surplus food did you have to pick up? They said 12 baskets. Then he said, what about situation number 2, when we had 4,000 people and 7 loaves? How many baskets did you have to take up? They said 7. Then he said, and how come you're behaving like this? What is wrong with you? Why have you forgotten so soon? He said, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. Do you not remember? Do you not remember when you got sick and the Lord healed you? Do you not remember when you had fears that maybe my life has come to an end finally? And how the Lord took you out of it? Do you not remember how you were going through surgery and you were full of fear and you thought you'd never wake up and you woke up? Do you not remember how you didn't know where money or funds were going to come from? And somehow the Lord came through and put you on the other side of the situation. And you look back and the thing was behind you and you just didn't remember how you crossed over. Hallelujah. Because it's amazing. Sometimes the Lord just lifts you up from this side and places you on the other side. And you can't always explain the transition. You can't explain the journey. You don't quite explain fully how you move from this place to this place. All you know is, once I was blind, once I was lost, now I see. Hallelujah. And the Lord does all these miracles for us so that we can remember. Hallelujah. So if you are broke, you should remember you've been broke before. Do you understand? The Lord allows you to be broke to create a memory. You see, so that you can remember one day that I've been broke before. And the Lord took me through that. That I've seen something worse than this before. And the Lord took me out of it. Hallelujah. So we all need that. We need to be able to go back and remember other problems that God has delivered us from. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Next one is to make positive confessions. Hallelujah. To make positive confessions. It is important to speak and let your words match up with what you're expecting. Do you understand? Otherwise, you're a bundle of confusion. When your expectation doesn't match up with your confession, then you are actually a kingdom divided against itself. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You have your own homegrown terrorists fighting your efforts to advance. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a part of you that is wishing that God will come through for you. And there's a part of you that is trusting God and saying, it is well. It can happen. Then arises the homegrown terrorist of your mouth that never says any good thing about you, that never says anything positive, that never acknowledges any good thing, even never acknowledges baby steps. Do you understand? Because every giant leap is preceded by baby steps. You see, there's nobody who just gets up and starts running. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe Adam did. Because he was born a grown-up. But everybody takes baby steps. Sometimes you have a habit and you are working and trusting God to quit the habit. You need to learn to recognize baby steps. Do you understand? Instead of looking at how much of it there is left to deal with, look at how much of it has already been conquered. And stay focused on it and say, understand that if you can conquer 2 out of 10, you just have to keep going. And be very courageous. And soon you conquer 10 out of 10. Hallelujah. So you need to recognize and acknowledge baby steps. Acknowledge baby steps at learning how to fast. Acknowledge baby steps at learning how to pray for long hours. You know, acknowledge, instead of remembering that you fell asleep while you were praying. You get it? Stay focused on the fact that you took a decision to pray. You see what I'm saying? You took a decision, today I'm going to pray. Yeah. And then you actually went into the closet to pray. Yeah. Just what happened after. That's what you must take a decision not to remember. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to remember what you had to overcome to get into the closet. Instead of thinking about what happened when you finally arrived in the closet. See, the devil would like to keep you focused on what happened when you got into the closet. To make it not worth your while going back there. Because as soon as you say, I'm going back there, he's going to remind you, you remember? You see, that the sleep is much more enjoyable in the room than in this closet. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you remember how you overcame, because your favorite TV show was coming up and you still were able to turn it off and go into the closet. That is the victory to acknowledge. Hallelujah. That is something to celebrate. It's something to respect. That look, I was able to do it. I was able to overcome the very thing that takes me out of this situation. And if you recognize those things and confess them. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And faith is related to speaking. Hallelujah. The Bible says people who have a spirit of faith, they speak. So faith is in speaking. The Bible says anybody who wants it, Jesus said that if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And he says you will not doubt in your heart, you know, but believe that what you are saying will come to pass. He says you will have what you are saying. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not even what you are thinking, but what you are saying. So we must learn to say positive things. We must learn to say it is well. We must learn to say I'm blessed. Amen. No matter how you feel, you can say I'm blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of letting the devil tell you, look, be real. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Instead of accepting that, learn to confess something positive. Yeah. Say, I'm blessed. It is well with me. I'm an overcomer. I'm winning. I'm on top. I'm moving forward. It is working. These are all words that builders must have. You shouldn't have to look very far to find such words around you. Amen. Anyone who is trying to build something for God, or anyone who is trying to achieve anything for God, or achieve anything at all, must learn how to say it is possible. It is well. It can happen. It will be. It is going to work. You will soon see it. It's going to come to pass. I am winning. I am victorious. God is with me. It will change. These are things we must say all the time. Hallelujah. That it says, the Bible says, who art thou, O mountain? It says, before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. Do you understand? Even for you to talk like that means you are standing in front of the mountain. But instead of acknowledging the mountain, it says, acknowledge what God can do. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. You would have thought, let the weak say, I am weak. To be real. Do you see what I'm saying? But God says, if you are one of those weak people, instead of saying, yes, we are here, as soon as the person shows up and says, let the weak, you say, yes, we are here. Instead of doing that, he says, when you say, let the weak, rather shut up and join the strong and say, I am strong by the grace of God in spite of my weakness. Amen. We need that. We need to be able to go to church and look at a few people and say, hey, it's working. It's a mega church. You know, and call her over to sing a mega church. You know, and sing the song. Mega church. It's a mega church. It's a mega church. I mean, this thing is working. This thing is growing. It's powerful. It's working. I'm blessed. This is the best place to be. And you see that it starts to change, to conform with your confession. Amen. If you can say negative things to kill your dream and your vision, then you can also say positive things to build it up. Say amen.
Amen.
Then number five, I'm almost done. Number five, learn to listen to the appropriate messages and get fired up again. Amen. Here we're talking about listening to preaching tapes. That's why I'm recording this message. I hope you still get it on there. But you need to learn to listen to positive preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Preaching that encourages you. Preaching that is consistent with what you're dreaming about or what you are looking to achieve. You need to hear the stories and testimonies of others who have been through it and have been successful at it. Hallelujah. The Bible says we must follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You see, so it's good. Everybody must have some preaching messages you listen to that bless your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Something that encourages you, because words are very powerful.
Yes.
Words are very powerful. You can meet someone who doesn't touch you, but they say something to you and they wound you the rest of the day. That's how powerful words are. The Bible actually says the worlds were framed by the word of the Lord. Words create worlds. Do you see what I'm saying? Words create environments. They create atmospheres. You know, what brings joy into an atmosphere? Often because of what somebody said. Isn't it? Yeah. And what brings sadness? often because of what someone had. You see, so you can be sitting in one spot, and in one moment you are laughing, and the next moment you are crying, all because of what you heard. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No one touched you. No one. They just. You can just be sitting there, and we set someone in front of you. That same person will say one thing and have you laughing, and that same person will say another thing and have you crying. So words are very powerful. They have life. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Everybody's tongue has death in it, and everybody's tongue has life in it. So learn to speak and say positive things.
Amen.
You understand? Amen. Say, I can do it. I will do it. And trust God. Amen.
Amen.
And when you hear good messages, positive preaching, it helps keep your faith alive. It becomes like fuel to your faith. It becomes like some kind of fuel on which your faith can keep burning and stay aglow. Hallelujah. So keep your faith alive by listening to preaching. Positive messages that will help you. Amen. Number 6, play the right music at the right time. Because music is another atmosphere creator, isn't it? Yeah. Different kinds of songs and music create different atmospheres. Do you see? That's why when you go to a nightclub, they be switching the music and switching the songs at different times depending on what atmosphere they want to create. Do you see? Because songs have life. And if you have good music and you play the right kind of songs, you will be able to stay encouraged all the time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Identify the songs that lift you up and keep playing them. Put them on repeat. You know, and play them over and over and over and over again and learn how to sing them.
Yes.
Do you see? These days on YouTube, you can get every song. So all you have to do is to go to YouTube and put the song in there and find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get the lyrics also right there. And you learn it so you can own the song.
Yes.
You understand? So the song is not kept on YouTube. Because when you're at the train station, you might not have YouTube. But if you have learned the song, you can bring it with you to the train. Isn't it? So learn the songs. Learn positive songs and learn the words. And keep them on your phone and look at it and read them and study them and learn it. And let it be a blessing to you. Amen?
Amen.
Number 7. Number 7 is avoid depressive and discouraging personalities. Isn't it? Avoid depressive and discouraging people who only draw you back into darkness. You need to identify the people who always pull you back to where you used to be. Do you understand? People who laugh at your baby steps. People who laugh at your effort. People who can never see that you have achieved anything. Do you understand? People who only look at how much there is left and ignore how much of it has been done. You see, you are looking at how far you've come to sort of empower yourself to take on your next challenge. And they are looking at how much left you have to do and how little of it you have done. You see, to make you feel worthless, to make your time and effort feel like you haven't really done anything. And it keeps people back and keeps you down and down and down and down. Hallelujah. You can always look at the same harvest and see either how much there is left to do or how much has already been accomplished. In both cases, your eye will be looking at the same places. So choose to look at the right thing.
Amen.
Amen. Choose to be with people who encourage you.
Amen.
Choose to be with positive people.
Yes.
Choose to see and to be with people who always can see that it is possible.
Yes.
Something good can come out of this.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Some of the people I admire are people who can go to the junkyard and buy an accident car that's been crashed. I admire them because I don't know just how they come by the faith to believe that these dry bones will live again. Do you see? I don't know how they're able to see a car out of the crash. But they are able to see. They have eyes and they can see. They can see a fender. They can see a new front end. They can see the airbags being put back together. They can see a whole car coming alive. And they raise up their hands and say, I want it. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you must be that kind of person. That no matter what happens, you never give up. You never give up. You never quit and never give up on yourself. Hallelujah. But you always believe that it is possible. When David was going to fight Goliath, he went to ask his older brothers, what will they give to the one who kills this dog? And the brothers said, he's proud. The Bible says he turned away from them and went to ask some better people. He asked some other people, what will they give to the guy? Because somebody had told him that, you know, the king says he'll give his daughter to the one who kills Goliath. He just wanted confirmation. He just wanted someone who heard it to say that, yeah, if you risk your life with this Goliath, you're going to be the king's son-in-law. And he thought, I could use that. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is very, very important to turn away from those who discourage you and relate with those who have faith in you, those who can see something great in what is going on. Amen. Amen. We must stay encouraged. Amen. We must hold on to our courage because that is all we have for overcoming what God has set before us. Amen. Amen. For overcoming the challenges in the battles that are ahead of us and for accomplishing the things that God has given for us to accomplish. God is going to build a great church in this city. Amen. God is going to bless the city indeed. That city will be blessed because we are here. Amen. LA will never be the same again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is going to bless us. Amen. And all he's asking is that we must contribute courage. Amen. Do you understand? He says, only be thou strong. That's all you have to bring. Amen. Don't bring anything. Just be thou strong and of a good courage. That's your contribution. If you can bring that to the table, he's going to supply the rest. And together we'll make a winning team and achieve great victory for Jesus. Say amen. Amen. All right, our time is up. We need to close. Say amen. All right, I hope you're blessed. Okay. So let's take a quick moment to pray before we close. Bow your heads, everybody, and just pray. I don't know what dream you have, what goals you've set, what it is you've been trying to do that the enemy has sought to fought to fight you and to be against you and to try to keep you down when you should be going up. And for some of us, it's been a battle. We fought it over and over and over, and we find ourselves always at the same spot, to the point where now you want to give up. But tonight God is saying you don't have to give up. He says you have been looking at the wrong part of the thing. You have been looking at what you've not been able to do instead of looking at what you have been able to do. He says your focus should be on what you have been able to do. You should be grateful that we even have some people who come to church. We should be grateful that we have some people who wake up in the morning and make their way to the church. Should be grateful that you've been able to achieve something. You've been able to achieve some of your goals as an individual, your spiritual goals, to be able to wake up and pray, to be able to wake up and pray, to be able to set time aside to fast. Even all the way down to very personal things like get out of debt, like lose weight, like different things, eat a little healthier or something like that. And all the things that you have been trying to do, which have been an uphill task in your life. Tonight, God is saying you need to stay encouraged. You need to be of good courage. You need to maintain your courage and not be discouraged in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And we thank you for your blessing. We pray, Lord, for your strength. Pray that you will strengthen us with might in the inner man. that we will be able to go forth and continue in the things that you have appointed for us to do. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be involved in the building of a church. We thank you, Lord, that it is not by power or by might, but it is by your Spirit. That as long as your Spirit is with us, we have nothing to fear. We will do well by the grace of God. Thank you so much, Lord, for your help and for your blessing. In the name of Jesus, we commit the rest of the week into your care. We pray, Lord, your grace will multiply upon us in Jesus' name. We pray for Zoe as she goes to school, Lord, that you will remember her, that you will go with her, Lord, that you will keep her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May she be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit's voice, the Comforter's voice, replace the voice of the discourager in the name of Jesus. Let that voice grow and grow and grow until it drowns every negative voice in her ears in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, for the church, that a church will rise and the church will continue to develop and will continue to ascend into the place you have ordained for it. Let this church take its place in this city. Let it occupy its position and occupy its territory in the city in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.